Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain, and that's what led the team behind the best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews to create their new Superbeats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
It looks like 266,000. It looks like it was a big disappointment at 266, but maybe I have that wrong. Let me double check the Bureau website here. 1 second. Yes, 266 is correct. Unemployment change, little change of 6.1%. So we have some issues here.
266,000.
Long-term unemployed.
Big revision.
Yes, that's what I'm...
Last month, 770 versus 916, yes. Minus 78,000 on the revision. If we look at manufacturing, change in private payrolls, it was only 218,000. Manufacturing minus 18,000. The unemployment rate went up to 6.1. Average hourly earnings rocketing up 7/10. Year over year up 3/10 on earnings. And average work week strong, 35. And here we go, 61.7 on the labor force participation rate.
Well, the jobs numbers suck. Happy Friday. As though it's a surprise. Oh my gosh. Welcome to the show. We made it to Friday, although I'm about to strangle everybody. I barely made it to Friday. This is one of those weeks where you all need to carry me over the threshold. Oh my heavens. So, where to even start? So the jobs numbers are bad. They're bad. And in fact, the U.S. Chamber, they tweeted, the disappointing jobs report, it makes it clear that paying people to not work is dampening what should be a strong jobs market. You think? Really? And this is the U.S. Chamber that had tweeted this earlier. It's funny to me because I pulled up this Politico piece that I had. This one, go back. Oh, yeah, this is 2020 elections. This was August 27th, 2020. The headline for this, the turmoil consumes Chamber of Commerce as it backs Democrats. They endorsed a bunch of Democrats in 2020. And now they're shocked. You redacted clowns. Now they're shocked. Yeah. So this jobs report is bad. What you're going to see all throughout the day is media trying to bail out Joe Biden. That's what you're going to see. Media is going to do everything that they can to try to bail him out. In fact, this 1 minute ago, this posted from AFP. The United States is still recovering from an economic collapse, says Biden. Biden is speaking right now. Do we want to listen to any of this? Or do you want to know what he says so you can be aware of what the media narrative is going to be? Let's dive in for a little bit of this, because it's bad. This is as bad as it gets. The jobs numbers. And then I'm going to break down exactly what all that entails. So this is the president. This is live and in progress right now. I want you to listen to some of this so that you're aware of what the headlines are going to be tonight.
10 million homes. I saw a water for project system yesterday in New Orleans that was over 80 years old. It's in need of major, major overhaul. And by the way, if they don't get it fixed, New Orleans itself is in real trouble. They need reliable, affordable, high-speed internet throughout this country. Our businesses need to compete worldwide. Our rural communities need to be able to compete and make their own judgments as to when to buy and sell. And our kids need to succeed in school. As my wife Jill says, any nation that out-educates us is going to out-compete us. We also need to up our game in our education system.
Okay, I'm not going to listen.
12 years of education.
He's going to sit here and talk about how much more we need to spend because it's what Democrats do. The problem is always we need to spend more, we need to spend more, we need to spend more, and we don't actually need to spend more. So a few things here. The numbers, and that's, of course, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, they gambled incorrectly. This is bad. So this, they see massive, massive miss, greatly underperforms. Let me pull up all my, I saved a bunch of notes here. Let me just read some of these headlines. Oh man, it's bad. Yeah. Massive miss, greatly underperforms, vastly underperforms. You get the idea, right? I mean, it's bad. Now, I'm starting to already see trending the expectation that well, Biden can fix it. I mean, it's not his fault this happened. The boom goes bust. That's the other headline. Far below expectations. Fewer jobs than expected. Oh, thank you, WAPO. Fewer jobs than expected, you know. Fewer. There you have it. Fewer. So,
I'd like imagining what the headlines would be if this was a Trump administration and this happened.
Oh, for the love. What, can you imagine?
Can you imagine what those headlines would be?
No, I mean, take in mind that we had a pandemic. But here's the difference between Trump and Biden. Trump did everything possible to get the government out of the way so that the private sector could create jobs. Biden did everything he could to put the government in the way so that jobs couldn't be created. I mean, this is such a ridiculous miss. In fact, when job creation under Trump, when we were adding jobs back, and it ended up performing consistently greater than what was being forecast. So I think that's something important to note too. So this, and looking at this, we've only gained back 63% of the jobs lost over the past year. That's not good. Only 63%. Now, yeah, imagine if I'm just remembering some of the headlines that it was for the previous president. That's when that's when we were even adding and we were even keeping up with expectations. This is just bad. I mean, there's just no way to put it. So this way fewer jobs picked up in April, struggling to rebound unexpectedly. You know, it unexpectedly goes bust. Unexpectedly, really. You know, part of the problem with this, why are people shocked that these numbers are so low? Why? Why are people shocked that there's this perceived shortage of workers? That's the other thing I wanted to bring up. Let me pull this up here. Good heavens. There was this, a couple of pieces already that were saying, well, it's because, you know, it's a worker shortage. It's not a worker shortage. The problem that we're having, well, and can you imagine? I mean, I guess if you want to say just it's a worker shortage and act like it's because we need more workers, you could, but it would be disingenuous. It's really because the government's paying people to not work. And that's actually because it's very, yeah, over 18,000 jobs lost. And I'm going to break down to that because it was the manufacturing industry and women that were really, really, really hard hit, female employment. But when you're paying people to not work, yeah, a friend of mine who lives in my town, in fact, they're one of the parents who was speaking out about the critical race theory stuff in school, owns two separate businesses in the town where I live. And like their upper managerial is, you know, like that's like your full time, you know, position. And then they have part time because they work in the service industry. And it's been difficult for them to find people to staff because people are making more staying home. Not kidding. And then when you also consider the cost of goods is skyrocketing, businesses have to freeze hiring because there's no way that they don't have the way yet to pass that cost off along. They can't. So this is all stuff playing into it. Women have been absolutely the hardest hit. Gains and losses in female employment. I just want to run these numbers by you. So in April, it was minus 8,000. And in female labor force participation, working or seeing work, it was negative 64K. So this is, I mean, this, women have been super hard hit, manufacturing, small businesses. I mean, it's bad. It's bad. Now, look at these job numbers, and then I want you to go back and add these horrific job numbers to the horrific tax and spend plan that Biden has proposed. Imagine the capital gains taxes, and that's where you get your money for investment and startups, which account, according to the Small Business Administration, to 43%. Of all jobs right now. And when you add that onto it, it is absolutely disastrous. You are looking at an absolute disaster. I have allergies, so excuse me. Absolute disaster today. Unbelievable. This is what we're looking at. Golly, this scares the hell out of me. Doesn't it scare you? Good night. Woo! Terrifying. Think about that for a moment. Just, I want to just, 43% from Small Business Association. That's also BJS, Bureau of Justice, Business Statistics, that agency. I have on my note. I have too many things in front of me. But it's 43% SBA. And this was a press release that they came out with last year. It was included in one of the previous newsletters that I had. This plus cap gains tax. Plus, think about, because Kane mentioned and particularly focused on the 18,000, actually it's more than that, jobs lost in manufacturing. Now think about how much more manufacturing is going to be exported when you are adding on corporate, when you're jacking up corporate tax. And then when you have, it's basically they're taxed twice because you have your, any kind of profit that is accumulated overseas, you're taxed again. And oh my gosh. This is on purpose. This is all on purpose. So, yeah, that's a rough Friday. It's a rough Friday. And the media already all in. This is what Washington Post is writing about today. They say the White House thinks that today's jobs reports illustrates the importance of providing robust unemployment support. I'm going to need a moment. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Indeed. I am going to need a moment.
Do you want a moment and listen to what Biden had in his opening remarks? Because of in his response, I mean, they're clearly panicking when these numbers came out. And so that's why Biden came out.
Why would they panic? Who in the hell in that administration did not see this coming? Why would you panic? Why would you panic?
Because that's not the narrative they put out. They didn't. The projection of jobs they put out was
that's like riding higher. Your bike and sticking a stick in the spoke and falling off of it and going, how did this happen? I can't believe this. That damn Trump. Liz, I'll go ahead. You can go ahead and torture me. It's all right. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Right. Torture me.
Today, there's more evidence that our economy is moving in the right direction, but it's clear we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
All told, our economy has added more than 1,500,000 new jobs since I took office.
Added anything.
That's the most number of jobs created in the first 3 months of any presidency in our history. Just for perspective, in these 3 months before I got here, the economy added about 60,000 jobs a month, not 500,000. In the 3 months since I've been here, the economy has added 500,000 jobs per month. And this is progress, and it's a testament to our new strategy of growing this economy from the bottom up and the middle out.
Yeah, I guess you're trying to get to the bottom first. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Can you? I want the job where I can just go up and say whatever.
Right.
You know, that's what I would like. Just like he did. Like, well, 11,000 people thought. You know, it's 112% of Americans believed. How are you getting that number? Well, because I am. So we're going to follow this. We got this story for you. And then, guys, the Ron DeSantis derangement syndrome has begun. It has begun. It's insane. I don't even think I can say what I was going to, but I have some examples of this for you because just wait until you hear about this. They're mad. Politico thought they had a big old Oppo drop on Ron DeSantis today. They didn't. In fact, it makes me like him more. I'll explain more of that here coming up. As we get moving on, our sponsor for this portion of the program, We may all have to actually engage in what this program was to protect you against in order to make money in the future. But keep, as long as we stay on this path. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain. And that's what led the team behind the best-selling Super Beats Heart Chews to create their new Super Beats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Super Beats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Super Beats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways: by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Super Beats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Just an FYI, my oldest son comes home from college today. So I plan on drinking Mountain Dew and playing video games all night. So, because my game partner's back. Let's see here. I know, I have other things to talk about, but I mean, that's really what counts, everybody. Okay, it's Friday. Federal grand jury indicted the other officers, I told you this was going to happen, in Minneapolis in the death of George Floyd. This federal grand jury has indicted four more Minneapolis police officers. Derek Chauvin was convicted last month on state murder charges. Two other officers were also charged, and a fourth officer, I don't think he's been named, Thomas Lane, they all face a charge for failing to give Floyd medical aid. So that's the charge that they're facing there. The U.S. Navy has discussed the possibility that UFOs are coming from an underwater base. What? What? And by the way, in any other world, this would be everybody would be the top story. They said that the guy who released the now famous pyramid UFO video says that there were craft seen apparently like coming from, well, they're called transmedium. And they were swarming U.S. Navy ships. I don't know about that. But they said that this is like a real thing. Well, at least this guy does. I just, show me an alien and I'll believe you. Right. How about that? Let's just show me the alien. Stick with us.
Do you want the CIA choosing their personnel based on intersectionality or based on competence? I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll discuss how the Russians and Chinese must be thrilled at how identity politics are becoming more important than protecting our nation. I'll also be joined by Tiffany Smiley, the amazing wife of a wounded warrior who changed the military and the VA and is now running for the U.S. Senate in Washington State. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Some critics said that we didn't need the American Rescue Plan, that this economy would just heal itself. Today's report just underscores, in my view, how vital the actions we're taking are. Checks to people who are hurting, support for small businesses, for childcare and school reopening, support to help families put food on the table. Our efforts are starting to work, but the climb is steep and we still have a long way to go.
But the woods are quiet and the snow is deep and I have miles to go before I sleep. I mean, good grief. Welcome back to the show, everyone. It's Friday. A little Robert Frost there for you. Am I frosting it all up? I have no idea what's going on. It's Friday.
We haven't spent enough.
No. We need to spend more. Yeah. I mean, clearly, we haven't spent everything. I feel as though it's like watching a bunch of teenagers just be given an unlimited credit card. Let's go spend it on all the things. Sounds great. What can we not spend it on? I don't know. I'm so excited. Let's go spend money. And that's just what it. That's all our money, too, by the way. It's all our money. We're spending it on everything. It's good heavens. It's just not, This is just bad. I'm trying to be like what, like how optimistic can I be? Oh no, this is not. The jobs report's bad. I'm not going to lie to you. It's bad. Whoo boy. All right, a couple of things. That jobs report, not only that, but yesterday is the National Day of Prayer. And if you're not, look, if you're going to be the president of the United States and you're going to participate in some kind of National Day of Prayer recognition, like they always, he issued a proclamation. If you can't do it without being kind of a jerk about it, then don't do it. Right? Because he issues this proclamation for National Day of Prayer. No mention of God. It is all about, it's all social justice stuff. It was released, it doesn't even mention God one time. Now, I'm not saying, you know, if it's the National Day of Prayer, if you're releasing something for the National Day of Prayer, I don't know, maybe you would mention the Lord. Just the thought. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Well, I mean, not even, it's one, two sentences in, and he immediately goes social justice warrior. Prayer has nourished countless souls and powered moral movements like racial injustice and, oh my gosh, goes on and on. And blah, 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 blah. I'm like still looking at the third. And then, oh yeah, and then, back again to a reckoning on racial justice, the existential threat of climate change. This is literally all in the National Day of Prayer proclamation. And he goes on, blah, 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 yeah. Doesn't mention God one time. Then why issue anything? Then just don't. Just don't. This makes zero. I mean, who is he? And if he's, if is this like a prayer? Is his proclamation a prayer? And if so, who is it to? I mean, I'm, you know, I have a question about that. Who is it to? Then just don't issue a statement. There's just no need. All the presidents do it. It was the 70th annual National Day of Prayer. I'm not going to be excited like, oh, well, at least he acknowledged it. He didn't acknowledge it. It was a statement on critical race theory and social justice. That's all it was. Omits the word. And then we have the jobs numbers today. None of this is good. So a few things I wanted to, especially as it relates to coronavirus, I was of two minds on this story. So there is a House GOP bill, and this is according to The Hill, that's going to prohibit the Biden administration from waiving IP protections for coronavirus vaccines. And I was looking at this because I saw, who was it? There was a tweet from, I'm actually searching for this in my notes. There was a tweet from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez where she was talking about the IP and property protections, intellectual property protections for vaccine manufacturers. And then she had retweeted it and said, okay, well, now it's time to do insulin. And, okay, just, you know, because that's why we're going to have all of these people do all of this research and everything just from the goodness of their hearts. Let's just go ahead and roll back the IP on everything, right? Kind of how it goes. But they have, I'm kind of two minds on this. I appreciate intellectual property, right? I appreciate intellectual property just as much as the next person. But at the same time, I kind of remember Pfizer being the company that waited to share any information about the vaccine and its efficacy and when it was going to be available. I sort of remember them doing that right after the election, don't you? I remember that happening right after the election. And I just think that maybe we shouldn't. I mean, why are we under any kind of obligation to assist them with anything? You know, I mean, I feel like I feel like that's, you know, turnabout's fair to play here. But the House bills would prohibit the administration from waiving any kind of IP protections. Well, why would they help? Why help a company that purposefully screwed over people during an election cycle, decided to politicize vaccines by withholding information until literally right after the election? Why? I just think Republicans shouldn't do anything. Just sit back and kind of watch and see what happens. I wouldn't do a damn thing. There's nothing you could do to prevail upon me to help them out with nothing. So see, this is why you wouldn't. I will see all the people that go to D.C., they lie to you. And they're like, I'm not going to abuse my power. I'm telling you straight up, I sure the hell would. I would sit back and just watch them burn. Just sit back. Just, you know, because you decided to politicize the vaccine during a pandemic, purposefully to influence an election at the worst time. And then, by the way, all the people who are trying to shame everyone into getting the vaccine, you realize we saw this stuff, right? I mean, we have eyes and ears. We hear things, we see things, we read things, right? We're aware. We realized and we saw some of these companies politicizing the vaccine while you're simultaneously telling us, no, this isn't political. There's nothing to worry about. Just get your damn shot. Do you see kind of now why we may be a little sus? I mean, right? I feel like I'm not being unreasonable here.
It's totally sus.
Would you try? I mean, if it's so damn important, why did you politicize it and hide it and sit on it until after an election?
Right. And at this stage of the game, we're not under any more like emergency youth authorization where the government can just like at their whim do whatever they want with other people's intellectual property. So I don't know. You're right. There's a dichotomous position here.
I just think that, I mean, yes, I also understand that IP should be politicized and it should be protected. But at the same time, Republicans, you don't need to virtue signal to the people who vote for you. Okay? Just do your thing. Do what we want you to do. You don't need a virtue signal to us. Stop that crap. We don't like it. In fact, we like you less when you do it. We hate that stuff. Stop. I'm going to virtue. Don't do it. Just don't do it. I mean, they waited until after the election. They lied also, remember, about their participation in Operation Warp Speed. They absolutely politicized everything. So forgive if I don't buy into all of this stuff. It's not my fault. Oh, and then by the way, then there's also this. The Federalist and a couple of other outlets. This is from Joy Pullman. A number of colleagues were silent on the CDC's retaliation against a superstar scientist who tried to prevent the vaccine pause disaster. 10 doctors on the committee that advised the CDC on the vaccines particularly say that if they support the CDC, say they would support the CDC removing a world-leading scientist from that committee because that world-leading scientist opposed a pause that may have made a lot of Americans a little hesitant to get the coronavirus vaccine. Now, the retaliatory climate that the CDC communicated when it punished this world-class scientist, again, more evidence of politicization. This is Dr. Martin Kulldorff. He invented key parts of the U.S. vaccine safety system, but the CDC does not want his expertise. He's on Twitter, by the way, also, if you would like to go and read a non-bias. He doesn't seem to be political. He's just a total dork. I mean, I don't mean that as like a bad thing. He's like one of those super sciencey people that if you took them out of the lab, they probably couldn't function in a social setting. He is so, he's very intelligent. And he just, that's all he is, medicine. He's more into that than politics. And he's just objecting. He objected to pausing back when this was all happening with Johnson & Johnson and everything else. And he publicly communicated it and they punished him. They punished him for being transparent at a time that Americans need that transparency from these officials. Maybe we wouldn't be so sus of you. You wouldn't look, or you wouldn't look so sus to us if you were a little bit more transparent. In fact, they released a statement. They wrote Kohldorff an email, and they said, quote, "It has been brought to the CDC and ACIP's attention recent public statements you've made regarding policy opinions that appear to be predetermined prior to complete review of data." Because, see, it's one person alone can't understand the data. It has to, they all have to influence your opinion on it and pretend that it's focus grouped. So they punished him. And this was all about the pause of Johnson & Johnson, that vaccine. Kohldorff said that the pause did not reflect his views. And he thought that it was, I mean, he wrote a professional opinion about this on April 17th when he was writing about the vaccines. He said, and he was discussing, to deny J&J to older people the vaccine is neither desirable nor necessary. With a pause for all ages, the total vaccine supply will decrease, delaying vaccinations, increasing coronavirus mortality, etc. I mean, this guy, there's nobody better than this guy. And they punished him because he was being transparent about it. Now, this is the same bureaucratic department that wants you to trust them. And if you don't, then they allow Democrats and their surrogates to act as though people who are a little bit suspicious because they see all of these efforts to politicize everything, they act like those people are the ones that have the problem. Do you see how abusive this is? It's cyclical. We have more on this, too, because I have other some parents are just fed up with masks. I know in our kids' schools, we're fighting the mask mandate. My kid hates wearing masks to school. My youngest absolutely hates it. And all of these kids have been dealing with acne. And I was actually talking to my dermatologist about this. And I asked them, I said, so what are you seeing in terms of, acne and breakouts and stuff particularly teenagers in high school? And my dermatologist said that it's been awful, that they have never seen so many new patients that have been dealing with this, that it's really bad. Especially because with allergies and everything else, all of these allergens get trapped in the mask. Allergens are even worse. That's the other thing my allergist was telling me. I've not talked to a medical professional that I go to who backs the use of masks like this for kids all the time in school every single day. Not a single one of them. And I go to a doctor. One of my doctors is a Democrat, I know for a fact, because I looked up their donations. So I did. I totally investigate everybody I go to. Don't think for a second. If I show up in your office, I already have a folder on you. But even they were saying this is ridiculous. And we're seeing so many problems associated with this. So we're going to talk about some of that because parents are just done. Kids are done. And now the parents are coming in swinging for the kids. And they have every right to. Founded 30 years ago, Kel-Tec takes pride in their mission of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company, Kel-Tec began making firearms in 1995 and to this day continues to never copy weapons, but always innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Now, SHOT Show is usually the time for Kel-Tec to unveil what's next. But with SHOT canceled this year, stay tuned to this program and the Kel-Tec social channels to discover new Kel-Tec weapons, all true to Kel-Tec's commitment to their customers by offering them firearm designs they can't get anywhere else. All Kel-Tec firearms are quality made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to go to work. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms, and they work hard to provide top quality products for you, law enforcement, and military personnel that protect America and our freedoms. To find a retailer near you and learn more about Kel-Tec's full line of pistols, rifles, shotguns, accessories, and more, check them out at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
It's the Dana Show.
In addition to that, if we want to talk about Planned Parenthood, let's talk about how many lives Planned Parenthood has saved and how many babies have been born because of the prenatal care provided by Planned Parenthood. And if you don't believe it, and if you've never met a Planned Parenthood baby, I'm happy to let you know that I am one.
Oh, good grief. I'm going to short circuit from jokes.
Show me the numbers.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's first off, that's not even They're more of an abortion provider than a prenatal care provider, and that's according to their own annual reports every single year that they've ever been in business. In fact, here are the numbers. Planned Parenthood provided 354,871 abortions for the 2019-2020 year, compared to only 8,626 prenatal services and only 2,667 adoption referrals.
Those are the numbers.
So those are the numbers. Wow, the numbers are, well, that's kind of rough for somebody. Does she not like think to, and first off, I don't know that, I don't even think I believe her. I just, because I don't believe anybody, I don't believe a single one of these damn politicians. But the, that's pretty kind of, that's, I mean, it's not even a contest. That's where their bulk of their bank comes from. I'm a Planned Parenthood baby. I mean, the jokes write themselves. They really do. And so this, I mean, and again, that's, and you can find that at PlannedParenthood.org, and you just go to literally their financials. It lists it on their website, and you can go and see it for yourself. So I just think that providing 354,871 abortions compared to 8,626 prenatal services, I think that the 354,000 some odd number is greater than the 8,000 number. But hey, if we're going to talk about how it saves lives, how come that same formula is never applied to gun ownership? Stick with us. Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at PatriotMobile.com/Dana. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
All of a sudden, you're hearing people talk about critical race theory, people who have no idea what that term means, or trying to ban the 1619 Project because it is trying to do exactly what you're saying, which is to actually teach a factual version of oppression in America. Oppression against people who are in the indigenous nation, and oppression against people who were enslaved.
That's not accurate, Randy Weingarten, and she's the head of America's Federation of Teachers, AFT. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash, danalash.com. Subscribe to the newsletter, chapter and verse. You got a big one yesterday about the GOP stuff, which we'll touch on again here coming up. But I don't want anyone who believes in anything that she just said teaching my children. And here's why. Because the 1619 Project wasn't even based on any kind of academic truth. It was, in fact, I mean, the Pulitzer people were, there were scholars telling the Pulitzer Committee, you need to take this award back. Because there were Democrat and liberal scholars who were saying, none of this is accurate. It's, she's concocting a new history to satisfy critical race theory. Parents are done with it. They're fighting back. They're not just fighting back against that in schools. They're fighting back against the other means of... I watched this video yesterday. It was short, and I thought about playing it on air, but it was so short. But it was this little girl, and I felt so bad for her. She was going to get on the bus, like elementary school, younger than fifth grade. Going to get on the bus. I think she... It looked like maybe in first grade. Could have even been kindergarten. The bus driver told her she had to wear a mask to get on. And she started crying and went back to the house. And she had it kind of on her face and she was bawling. She's like, I can't breathe in this. I can't breathe in it. I'm tired of not breathing, is what she said. I can't breathe. It's so abusive. It's so abusive. Mm-hmm. So this, there were parents who were at, there were a couple of different school board meetings that kind of erupted. Audio Soundbite 15. This was one that was yesterday, and this was in Utah. And parents were pushing their school board to stop or at least make it optional and not require it. And parents just, they were done with the school board. They erupted. Listen to this.
Participation?
No more math!
All right.
No more math! No more math! No more math! No more math!
Quinder,
no more math!
I move that we adjourn this meeting.
I'll second.
We have a motion to adjourn and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Since they're going to leave, we're going to take control.
She was mad. Woo! She has every right to be. These parents are done. They're finished with this nonsense. They're completely done with it. And, you know, it makes sense because it's just, there's no point. I mean, it goes now. There's no point in any of this. We're actually submitting, all these parents have signed a letter to have our school make it optional. I mean, if you're worried about your health, stay home. If you're worried about your kids' home, then you do the remote learning. Mm-hmm. You do the remote learning and you stay home. Everyone else has been sacrificing their lives and their own health for over a year now. And then you stay home. Done. I've just been, there was another video I saw of a woman in a pregnant woman at a grocery store. And she was maskless. I mean, you almost can't play it because this guy's cussing, like, you know, and this guy starts recording her, and she was a young mother, and she's at a grocery store, and he starts videotaping her, and this sexist pig starts going off on her. People like you killed my grandparents. No, people like Andrew Cuomo did, you moron.
Yep.
I pity the person who tries to mask shame me. I just don't. We have a list in our community of what private businesses, and you should do this in your community too. Every town has a Facebook page. Get on your town's Facebook page or create a Facebook group and pull people from your town's Facebook page that are like-minded and share this information with each other, because we have a list of all of the places in our town that are not going to bother you if you don't wear a mask. They say that's optional. And then places, the private businesses that say it's mandated to come in and shop. Are they still making people wait outside Lululemon? I don't go in there, but are they still making people wait outside Lululemon? I have never seen so many people stand in a line to go and buy leggings in my life. And it's not like these leggings are made in the USA leggings. I don't even know why they charge such an absorbent, this over the top ridiculous price for them. The seams on your butt. It's annoying. Anyway, I've never wanted anything that bad in my life. I want to roll down my window and go, bah, but I don't, because I'm a good person. You know what I mean? I can't deal. And when going out to eat, if they make me put a mask on to walk to my table and then take it off when I get to my table because of the imaginary coronavirus rules that says the virus only lives up here. And so if you're sitting, you're okay. But if you stand, then you go up to where the virus is, then I will say thank you and I'll walk out. Not even going to do it. I'm just not. But like if you're worried about your health and you feel like you need to wear a mask. Nobody's going to judge you. Don't be judging me. It's simple. Very simple indeed. So 2A stuff. All the progressives are just there. They don't know what to make of black gun ownership exploding. And it's not really surprising when you consider the history of gun control. But I keep seeing all of these articles, and I'm sorry, but they're racist because they're all with these white progressives that are like, oh, my gosh, can you believe how many black Americans are purchasing guns? No, not really. Why does it bother you? It shouldn't. Now, in Texas, the way that I understand it, I've been watching and everybody's watching to see what Texas does with regards to constitutional carry. And that's House Bill 1927. And it made it out of the Senate, and it went back to the House because they're trying to get it up to Abbott's desk. Now, the problem is that apparently some of the Democrats in the Senate now, and Jane Nelson voted for it. But I will say Jane Nelson only voted for it after they added a bunch of these amendments, or, you know, some of the stuff to it. And some of the things that they added make no sense. Like, what is it? Like, you got to give notice if you're, and apparently that's going to get removed, to give notice. I mean, if someone's carrying, normally what happens is if they're carrying in a place where you're not allowed to carry, then you give notice, and then that person can go and either put their firearm in their locked glove compartment or in a locked case in their vehicle and then choose to return, or they can just leave. And then if they stay after being given notice, then it's considered criminal trespass. And what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to increase some of this stuff, some of this basic stuff, to like felony penalty. And they seemed to work more with and talk more with I think it was the Houston Officers Association and a couple of these sheriff's associations, not all law enforcement. But I just think that if you are working on a piece of legislation about firearms and firearm rights, wouldn't you actually be working with organizations that are made of citizens and that advocate for citizens' natural Second Amendment rights? I mean, I know they've had Gun Owners of America down there talking to folks. And it just seems as though that's the natural, that you would incorporate citizens, law-abiding, caring citizens' responses into this. All I know is that everybody I've talked to says that Dan Patrick really controls all this. He was on the program with us, and he's a nice guy, but I understand how politics work. People can be also, and I'm not saying that this is indicative of him since I have to draw pictures for drive-bys, but even when you get along with politicians and even when they aren't very nice, they're still politicians, and there's always something else that's going on in the background. Like when the right hand's moving, you got to watch what the left hand's doing. And every single person, and I've spoken with a number of lawmakers in Austin. I was on the phone with several of them yesterday, and they are, all of them were unanimous in saying that it's Dan Patrick, it's his responsibility, because he's been shepherding this thing through from start to finish. And I know that they have the voter integrity thing that was on the floor yesterday, and they have a number of things that they're dealing with. But it's going to be a heck of a lot harder next term to get something like this through if it doesn't get through now. So what they're kind of weighing, and they have to go through points of order and all of this other parliamentary kind of procedure. So it's not as easy as, okay, well, all right, the House approved the Senate amendments and then kick it back up to Abbott's desk. There are a lot of other things that are going to happen, and it's still not a done deal. And there's still a little bit ways to go. And I'm just saying, I think people need to be calling their lawmakers. You need to be calling your state representatives in the Republic of Texas. And you need to be telling them that it is ridiculous to limit the rights of law-abiding people because you're trying to punish criminals. And I've made this point to a lot of these lawmakers before, because they say stupid stuff. They say things like, oh my gosh, well, having... this bill, if it passes law enforcement, they're going to have to remove deadly weapons from the hands of violent criminals. Okay, hi, guess what? Violent criminals are already barred from carry. It's illegal. Blocking constitutional carry is not going to make it illegaler. Okay? That's not how any of this works. All I know is that if this doesn't pass, there should be hell to pay at the ballot box. And you can sit here and you can pass every other conservative piece of legislation you want to. You don't get this passed. It, to me, you ain't any better than Democrats. Why in the hell should we elect any more Republicans if y'all can't do anything more conservative than a damn Democrat?
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
The public's trust in the media has hit a new low. Can it go lower than on the other side of the planet from under your feet where you're standing? I don't know if it can or not, but apparently it is. They said there's always some sort of, this is Center of Public Affairs Research and Associated Press. It's all-time low, but they go, it has nothing to do with the coverage. It's just, that's it. But they do think that it's not all Americans universally embrace core journalism values or just journalism in general, right? 56% of Americans agree with the statement that journalists and reporters are trying to mislead people. 58% think that they're more concerned with supporting an ideology or political position. Yeah, so that shouldn't surprise anybody because Fourth Estate's garbage. So everybody's still watching. Thanks, China, again, for being, you know, dumb again. Everybody's watching for when to see when this debris from this rocket is supposed to hit the planet, because it has kind of a pretty wide berth. But the New York Post has the piece. It says that it's highly unlikely. China says it's highly unlikely to cause any harm. Forgive us if we don't defend if we don't believe the Wuhan lab people. Thank you. But the location of the Long March 5B's rocket's descent can't be pinpointed until well within hours of reentry, said U.S. Space Command. They said it could fall anywhere as far as New York to as far north as New York to as far south as New Zealand. 23-ton piece rocket. So pretty much like any of us could get hit in the head with a rocket, right? That kind of. And then the Aerospace Corporation said our latest prediction for the rocket body reentry is, and it shows a map of just basically the world. And I don't know if that's supposed to be scientific or not, but I'm just saying that it's not inspiring a lot of confidence here. Not at all. Not at all. Oh my goodness. We're probably not going to get hit by rockets. There's a study that says looking at your phone makes people also look at their phone. It's the copycat behavior, the chameleon effect. They said the chameleon effect evolved to assist group bonding. And ironically, now everybody's not going to bond and look at their phone instead. Researchers in Italy investigated human mimicry, and I don't have to explain this to you. You know what it is. They looked at 184 people. And if somebody looked at their phone, that other robot had to look at their phone too. So yay, everyone looks at their phone if one person looks at their phone. That's great. Has it solved all the world's diseases knowing this? It hasn't. Okay, I don't care. Let's see. Also, Floyd Mayweather is supposed to fight Jake Paul. Jake Paul has a death wish, apparently. And apparently there was a big old brawl that broke out when they came face-to-face in Miami. Oh, that's going to be interesting. Andy McCarthy joins us next.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
Yes, indeed. I'm looking over some of the Biden's remarks as it relates to corporations and businesses paying their fair share, which is just horrible rhetoric to have, especially after the jobs numbers that came out today, which also horrible. When you combine that and the tax and spend plan that's coming out, a disaster awaits. But, you know, we don't have the mean tweets anymore. We'll say that. I'm joking. I'm being facetious. One of the other things that we were frequently told during the election is that Republicans were tyrants and we must vote them out, because if we don't, then they're going to politicize all of these departments and persecute the left. And I remember reading, or at least reading, these discussions and arguments on social media. And I always thought it was odd, because the only administration that I knew that had actually done this, I mean, aside from Clinton's, was the Obama-Biden administration, and not just with using the Espionage Act to go after reporters, people like my friend James Rosen and others, but then also using the DOJ to politically prosecute people and involve itself with Eric Holder as its lead into the police departments, etc. And now it looks like those days are back. Those political prosecutions are back, not just with the Rudy Giuliani thing either. And it looks like, I was reading this piece from my friend Andy McCarthy, this could actually backfire on the administration. And we talked to my friend Andy McCarthy. He joins us via phone, and he is obviously a best-selling author, and you know him too, former chief assistant U.S. attorney. He's seen on Fox as well. Andy, always a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks for your time today. Tell me about this, because it looked like, or at least the way that it was presented to, you know, all of us out here watching on the sidelines who don't have all of the detailed knowledge of everything that's happening, they really wanted to present this as a slam dunk as it related to Giuliani. But you're saying that this actually is going to this is going to backfire on the DOJ.
Oh, yeah, Dane. I think it could backfire big time, because what they're doing here, and this is decades of Biden, we should know. He just doesn't know how to leave well enough alone. In fact, the whole reason this even happened, I think, is, and this doesn't excuse some of the people Rudy was working with, obviously, but this all happened because Biden, being Biden, claimed that he had gotten the Ukrainian prosecutor fired when he didn't. I mean, he was one of a cast of thousands of people who were trying to lean on Ukraine to be serious about anti-corruption. But his story doesn't line up. He didn't, you know, this whole big deal about how, you know, he told them, I'm leaving in 6 hours. And if you don't fire the prosecutor by then, you're not getting your trillion or your $1 billion. That never happened. It was months later when the prosecutor was removed, actually by Parliament. It didn't happen the way that he said it happened, but he was once again, you know, trying to make himself into a bigger deal than he was. But the result of it was, and he probably didn't realize this, he laid the story out in a way that was susceptible of an interpretation that he was trying to remove a guy because his son was on the board at the company, even though the son was not implicated in what the company was being investigated for. So the whole thing is caused by Biden being a blowhard, which, you know, after a half century, that's big news, right? But the thing is, a guy who was smart and knew how to leave well enough alone would declare victory now and move on.
Right.
Because what happened here is, the guys that Giuliani was dealing with in Ukraine were sanctioned by the Trump administration for peddling Russian disinformation. So Biden has the ability here to say basically he's been vindicated, that all the Trump campaign claims that he was involved in some kind of criminal corruption in Ukraine have not only been disproved, but the guys Giuliani was dealing with were, you know, Russian moles. And you leave it at that and you call it a day. Instead, what they're doing is they have the Justice Department pursuing Rudy in a criminal case. And the pretext for the criminal case is the FARA, the Foreign Agents
Right.
Registration,
Right.
which to Mueller, in the half century prior to Mueller, the Justice Department brought exactly 7 FARA cases, only 3 of which were successful prosecutions. The Justice Department doesn't consider this to be a serious crime. Their position has always been to try to get people who are working on behalf of foreign governments to get right with the law and register with the Justice Department, not to treat what they're doing as a serious felony violation.
Right.
Mueller pulled this out pretextually to have a kind of a criminal patina to the investigation he was doing on Trump and the campaign. I guess the FBI did it before Mueller did it.
Right.
But nobody in the Mueller investigation actually got convicted, not even Manafort got convicted of being a foreign agent of Moscow, of Russia. Nobody did. So the whole thing was just a farce. And here they are again, using this as a pretext to investigate Giuliani, and not only to investigate him, but they go to his house and his office and also Victoria Tunzing's house, and they get a search warrant.
Yeah.
And they basically rifle through the guy's stuff, including his communications devices, which is a gross constitutional violation of the attorney-client rights of the clients of these lawyers.
And that was, and not to interrupt you, but that was one of the concerns that I had, because he's involved in a case with the government, and the government sends people to come and confiscate his computers and hard drives on which there is that information that's protected by client attorney privilege. That seems really just beyond.
Yeah, it is. It's really beyond the pale, especially in this case. Let me tell you what they always say. This comes up from time to time. It's not unconstitutional. I know Alan Dershowitz has been out there saying it's unconstitutional. I agree with most of his critique, but on this particular, I think he's wrong. It's not unconstitutional to search a lawyer's stuff, whether it's his home, his premises, his office, or what. I did mafia cases when I was a prosecutor. And the game is, like, sometimes when you're dealing with organized crime guys, what they'll do is they'll insinuate a lawyer into their communications. So when they give criminal directions, they have a way to say later, well, you can't use that. Mm-hmm. We had my lawyer there. It's all privileged. So it's a game, and you can't let that go on. So if there's a really serious crime, and the only way that you can get the evidence is to search the lawyer, you're allowed to search the lawyer. But the Justice Department frowns on it because you can't search the lawyer without violating the Sixth Amendment constitutional attorney-client rights of other people who go to the lawyer. And what the way this always gets litigated, the Justice Department says, oh, don't worry about it because we'll have a tape team. You see, what happens is before we show the communications to the team that's doing the investigation, we have another team of prosecutors who goes through them first to make sure the investigative team only sees what's relevant. Right. Well, that's perfectly fine protection for the lawyer who's in the investigation and for anyone else who's involved in that investigation. But let's say you went to Victoria Tunsing because you had a legal problem that was completely unrelated to Russia, Ukraine, Giuliani, or any of that stuff. How does it help you that one set of prosecutors versus another set of prosecutors got to look at your client communications, your privileged information from your discussions with Victoria? That doesn't help you, not in any way, right?
Right.
So the thing is, this is like when the Justice Department is working the way it's supposed to work, this is the kind of thing you only do in a really serious case that involves stuff like murder, where you need the lawyer's information to prove a really serious crime. You don't do it to prove something that you've charged seven times in 60 years.
Yeah, that doesn't.
And that isn't treated as a crime.
Yeah, that doesn't. It makes zero sense. And I, you know, hearing you explain it, we're talking to my friend Andy McCarthy. I don't see how this doesn't burn them. While we have time with you, Andy, I want to ask you really quickly as well, because it was announced today, the indictment of those other officers that were involved in Minneapolis and George Floyd's death. The charges, as I understand them, they're looking at aid that was denied Floyd. Tell me a little bit about this. I mean, I can't imagine them not getting a conviction on this, particularly when looking at the Chauvin case. I mean, there were definitely some of the charges I thought was going to be a slam dunk by prosecution. Others I thought maybe they had a little bit more of a hill to climb. But this one, it seems like that conviction is just that we're almost at, like, this is a formality, obvious at this point, that they'll probably be found guilty.
Well, I don't know, but I think it does go to your point about how politicized prosecutions are back.
Mm.
Because, you know, number one, this is a much more difficult federal case than the state case. Because in the state, you have to prove murder.
Right.
In the federal case, you have to prove that they knowingly and willfully violated somebody's constitutional rights. In other words, under circumstances where the police called for an ambulance for Floyd and then held him, they not only used excessive force, but they had it in their minds to violate his constitutional rights, which who knows if they were even thinking about his constitutional rights. So these kind of cases, because it's a willfulness standard, and the only reason for federal intervention is because it's a violation of a federal constitutional right, they're uphill even when the evidence looks like it's slam dunky, like it does state case.
Right.
But the other thing I would point out is the Justice Department could have gotten this indictment and sealed it. And instead, they've publicized it now right before Chauvin's supposed to get sentenced and right before the other three cops are supposed to be, or ex-cops, are supposed to be tried in August. So they are intentionally inflaming the sentencing judge and poisoning the jury pool for the next trial.
Again,
there's no reason for them to do this. There's no statute of limitations problem. They could have just done what you usually do, which is seal it and wait until all the state stuff was over by the end of the year, and then you unseal it and decide whether to go forward or not. So I think this is more signaling to their political base than it is something that has a good law enforcement purpose. I mean, this guy Chauvin's going to get close to 40 years in jail. How much more are they going to do by prosecuting him?
Yeah, exactly.
And if he gets acquitted, it'll undermine everything that's happened up until now.
And to your point as well, when you say that they have even, because it's a federal, not a state case, and thank you for that clarification too, that it's going to, even when the evidence looks great, it's going to be uphill for them. I mean, maybe this is the, I mean, it looks like this is them acknowledging that and then trying to kind of tip the scales in their favor by not sealing this indictment. Wow. Yeah. Political prosecutions indeed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Dana, I had a case one time against, drug dealers who tried to hold up a cop, and it was a terrible case. They shot the guy. He couldn't identify him. It was a terrible case. He had gotten acquitted in the Bronx, and then they brought the case to us because it's dual sovereignty. State prosecution doesn't give you double jeopardy protection from a later federal prosecution. So we could bring a federal prosecution on attempted murder, but we had to show that it was an attempted murder that affected interstate commerce. And the jury ended up hanging because you have to have a federal nexus. It can't just be just a federal prosecution on the same charges as the state. So when we got to talk to the jury after they hung, one of the things they said to me was, why are we talking about interstate commerce? What does that have to do with, you know, a police officer during a drug buy got shot in the back? What does that have to do with interstate commerce? Like, what does that have to do with anything? So these are much harder cases than people realize they are at the federal level.
Yeah, very much so. Good heavens. Andy McCarthy, our friend, we so appreciate talking with you and you breaking these issues down for us. I hope you have a great weekend, and it's a pleasure to speak with you, and hope to talk with you again soon.
You too, Dana. Thanks.
Of course. Take care.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I just saw something funny. Oh, now I've seen something else funny. All right, so y'all remember, how did we start? How did we start off this lockdown? Y'all remember? Our second weekend, Tiger King came out, right? And it was like we were all gossiping about that crazy member of our family. You know, everybody has one. You do too. Stop it. And it's like we were all talking about him. Anyway, the reason that I bring this up is because the big cat rescue people, remember Carol Baskin? So she's creating her own cryptocurrency and NFTs. Like, Kane's dying right now. This is Tampa Bay Times. It's digital currency. And it is. It is. I'm not even making this up. It's totally what it is. And Carol Baskin is the one who was the foe of Joe Exotic. And I actually just realized what did I say was going to go as Halloween? Because I think I might go as Carol Baskin for Halloween. Oh, yeah. And then Chris could go as Joe Exotic. Oh my gosh, he never will, but it would be great. I love assigning Halloween costumes to people. Anyway, she's creating her own currency and an NFT. It's just $cat, but do you say scat?
No.
Okay. Shut up. Because I was like, isn't that just a synonym for guano? Okay, that's what I thought. I mean, that's what people like deer scat. That's what I was thinking
of.
So
people are going to call it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, a Florida woman was arrested because she placed her child under the wheel of a semi truck. Wow. Oh boy, it's going to have some prison justice for her. Oh, I have a ton of other stuff, but we got to get going. We have another hour of fun coming.
President, do you believe enhanced unemployment benefits had any effect on diminishing a return to work in some categories?
No, nothing measurable.
What? How can you say that? Because all of these other, because people are saying otherwise. That was the president just a little bit ago talking about the, oh, the horrible, horrible jobs numbers that came out. Oh, it's so bad. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Go and subscribe to that newsletter, chapter and verse. You just go to the website and you go up there where it says subscribe and you give it a little clicky click. And then you go and you just fill in. I do not sell your information. Kane asks a good question. Would you work for $1,000 per week or stay home for $800 per week? Ooh. Ooh. I'd find a way to do both and to get both amounts.
That's fraud, Dana. It's fraud. It's,
I would just identify as a Democrat, and then it's okay.
Unemployed Democrat.
Yeah, there you have it. That is true, though. And then it's not. And then you have the cost of goods that are skyrocketing. Oh my gosh! Which reminds me, I did not send this to myself. You all have to forgive me today because you all know it's like Wayne's World here, right? And my oldest is moving back. He's finishing up his sophomore year in college today, and it's drama city because apparently finals also happen on the day that they move out, and it's drama city, and I'm dealing with like my dogs and work, and one of my dogs, we call it a stanky leg, you know, because he had back surgery, and this dog is my mom says they're the most millennial dogs ever. And you don't take him outside to walk him. He wants to be dragged because he'll just lay where the first sunbeam is. And then you're stuck out there for as long as he wants to be out there. And then he glares at you like you're abusing him if you try to encourage him in any way to move. Anyway, my whole long story and my whole point of doing this, I think I sent this to myself. So, you know how I said the cost of goods is increasing, right? And a lot of businesses are not wanting to pass those costs on to their customers. And do you remember the headline that I had? I think it was it was this week, at some point this week. It had to do with chicken wings. Remember how I said chicken wings were going to get pricey because there's like a shortage for some reason of chicken. I don't know why there's a shortage of chicken wings. I didn't make up the rules, but that's just what I was hearing. Well, it's actually a true thing. So the wings place that I go to, and I love wings. I love hot wings. Like my favorite activity in the world when Cops used to be on was get hot wings and have a beer and watch Cops. I keep it simple. This is very simple. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, I don't know what happened to my voice there. So my wings place, and I saved this to my phone, and now, of course, I can't find it because America. I say this, my wings place actually posted on Facebook about how it was difficult to get, how it's been a little tough to get wings because the price of wings is going up. And I'm like, the price of wings is increasing? What? I had said, I'll pay whatever you want me to pay for wings. I told them. But it was actually really neat because they said that they were not going to pass. They said in their post that they were not going to pass the extra cost off on to their customers, which I thought, you know, I felt bad for them because they said that. But then, you know, at the same time, I was like, I'll pay it. I don't mind. Like, I will totally pay it because I love wings. I need wings. It's like it's like my feel good food. Right. And it's healthy. It is. Wings are healthy. Don't even argue with me. So, yeah, they had said that they're not going to increase the cost. They're going to do everything they can to not increase the cost and pass it on to their customers because they've always had a loyal customer base. And but they were explaining how it's just it's like 150% price increase, they said, for the cost of for what they've had to pay for wings. And I'm like, I'll pay 150% cost increase. I don't care. I'm just too lazy to make them myself all the time. And they're just, my wings place is real good. No, I'll get like a Greek salad and I'll have wings and a beer and watch Cops. That's what I would do. And now Cops ain't on anymore. Can we have a sidebar, quick nostalgic sidebar? When I was a teenager, I was a very weird child. Because I studied ballet for years. And so when I did not have like workshops and all kinds of stuff happening, remember after Cops, America's Unsolved Mysteries. That was my other favorite show. Oh, yeah. Robert Stack's voice There's nothing like Robert Stack's voice. And in the summer, there was it was awesome to watch Cops and then watch Unsolved Mysteries. You know, the windows open, the attic fan on. You got Robert Stack's voice. There's just nothing more peaceful than that. Am I crazy? No, I'm not. That's America. And he could say anything, and I would be immediately over-enthusiastically interested.
Join me. Perhaps you may be able to help solve a mystery.
It's horrible audio, but his magic shines through, even that horrible audio. They don't make him like Robert Stack anymore. It's almost like if I could have anybody else's voice on air, I would take his. Even, I know I'm a woman. Shh, I would. You know what I mean? Because his just, I, there's something about it. I loved his voice. But anyway, that's my whole long story, because here I am bringing the tugboat up to shore here. I told you, you know, I'll do it. I'll circle back. It'll take a little bit. We're taking the scenic route for this topic. But all of this stuff, I mean, every business is feeling the squeeze. And there's not a perceived shortage of workers. It's that Biden's paying people to stay home. People are like, I'll, you know, $1,000 a week, $800 a week. I'll skip the $200 to stay home. Well, how long do you think that this is going to last? It's not going to last forever. You know, I mean, it's just not. And then businesses, for them to not, they're trying to beg people to come back and work. Cost of goods going through the roof. Women have been hardest hit. Manufacturers hardest hit. I'm going to tell you this. This is from a friend of mine who lives in my town. And this was on our town Facebook page, because we all get and we all talk. That's the only thing I actually participate in, and I do it begrudgingly. And the most activity I have is liking something, and that's about it, because I'm a lurker. But not everything. But she wrote that she was really hesitant about sharing this, but she turned down a new executive level HR role. She was very interested in it, but they demanded that she get the coronavirus vaccine and be in the office daily. And she said that she had 20 years experience with national global brands that have household recognition. And they already informed her she was the best candidate for the role. But she said because of some of her ongoing health issues, she did not want to be vaccinated yet. And it wasn't that she was against it. She was waiting for a couple of things, and she didn't go into detail, and I won't either. But she says that suddenly, you know, she had to actually decline it. Because they said that it was the requirement. Didn't matter how good she was. She either got it or they'll go with the second best choice. And she says that she was not ready to get it as a condition of employment. And she's like, I'm not anti-vaccine at all. It's just that she has a little bit of a different situation. And that's not taken into account with some of the stuff either. And she says it's jarring when this becomes a reality. And she says it's a whole new world out there. That is something that's interesting. How is it like, what if you objected to it because of like a religious position? I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm just saying there have been those before. Isn't that discrimination against that faith if you... I don't know. I mean, my goodness, if you can have a guy go and participate in the Olympics in women's weightlifting, surely I can at least adopt a facet of something that says, oh, yeah, I can't do that because it violates my faith. Right? Just some thinking. I can come to a rolling stop. It violates my faith to fully stop. Right? Can I do that now? Asking for a friend. It's not me. I obey all traffic laws. I was just wondering. But it's this plus everything else. And then here's the other thing. While the GOP fights, I so do appreciate that there's one GOP member of the Republican Party that is not engaging in all the slap fight stuff over party control, and it's Ron DeSantis. But have you seen the DeSantis derangement syndrome? Let me read you this tweet that this reporter put out. So apparently Ron DeSantis had a Fox News hit. And Tampa Bay Times has this piece. Ron DeSantis, he was talking to Fox. He had he was talking to some of the voters. It was some event. This was over. I'm going to pull this piece up. This was yesterday. It was at West Palm Beach. No, sorry, this is this morning. Fox and Friends, West Palm Beach. And so he's sitting there in a chair and he's talking to the camera because he's doing a hit. He's got an IFB. And this is what this reporter, Evan Donovan is a political anchor and reporter at WFLA. Evan Donovan loves chocolate chip cookies, literally in his bio, Evan Donovan. Evan Donovan, he tweets, quote, "The photo of Governor Ron DeSantis in this piece is telling. Taken from outside the event. Trees in the reflection, sporting an IFB for Fox News only. Back turn to the rest of Florida." He's wearing an IFB to listen to the producers in the control room. And his back is to voters. And I had responded helpfully, as I am so generous in doing. Because usually when people do television hits, Evan Donovan, they face the camera to talk and don't tell anybody. Evan Donovan, this is our secret. But when Democrats do media hits, they also face the camera. What? Do you know that cameras take your image and that's how it gets on TV? Do you know how that works? Did they hire Evan Donovan fresh out of J school or under a bridge in Austin? Where did they get him? Kane says, no, you share that.
Well, the difference is, I would say, is that Democrats turn their backs on their voters even when they're not on television.
Ooh. Go to your refrigerator and get out an ice cube, wrap it in a cloth, and apply to burn. I mean, he's doing a news hit. He's talking to the media. And I like what somebody said, back turned, or is he leading his constituents? Ooh. That's a good one.
But, you know, at a press conference, he's facing his voters, right?
Yes, but this Evan Donovan is mad because Governor DeSantis is speaking to a camera that says Fox on it. Fox bad. Fox no touch. You didn't know that? Oh my gosh, I can't make some of this stuff up. It's just so ridiculous. Yeah, this guy and people, so they had a big O. I'm gonna wait till I tell you what Politico's big O oppo dump. Oh my gosh, they thought they had him. They thought they had Ron DeSantis right there. They thought they had him. Wait until you hear this amazing oppo dump. Could Ron DeSantis ever come back from such damaging information? Oh, we don't know. We'll talk about that here coming up.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
It's my fault. We all got distracted by a video of this horrible, horrible person. And oh my gosh, we're going to have to talk more about, I don't know. I want to talk about the Ron DeSantis thing. So anyway, all right, as we get moving here, let's get into the rest of the stuff. Let's see. The Treasury warns of a need to deal with national debt limit. Duh. Congress isn't already on this. They should be. The Associated Press reports that the Treasury Department says it's going to employ measures to avoid an unprecedented default on the national debt this summer. But officials say that those measures could be exhausted because Congress won't stop spending because they are horrible people and they act like the girl that was in the video that we just watched and we're talking about on break. Right? Telling you. Let's see here. Press credibility takes another massive hit because White House reporters will not stop fanboying and fangirling over Jen Psaki. And they include everybody from Mediaite to Huffington Post to Chris Cizilla. I think maybe Stelter is the only person who hasn't actually weighed in. Can you imagine? Compare every other press secretary that Trump had and their relationship with the press to what Jen Psaki has now. China's Africa outreach is posing a threat from the Atlantic. This is something that a U.S. general is warning about. Stephen Townsend, in an interview with the Associated Press, says that Beijing is looking to establish a large Navy port capable of hosting submarines or aircraft carriers on Africa's western coast. They said China's approached countries stretching from Namibia really all along the coast there, intent on establishing a naval facility. They could base warships not just in the Atlantic, but also in the Pacific. That is a huge concern. And I, well, everybody's too busy slap fighting over control in D.C., so they're not paying attention to that, not at all. Also, let's see here, Amazon drivers are instructed to drive recklessly to meet delivery quotas. What? No, really? Yeah, in fact, Vice has a piece on this. They said that Amazon delivery companies around the United States are encouraging reckless and dangerous driving by ordering delivery drivers to shut off an app called Mentor that they use to monitor speed and give a safety score to prevent accidents. I'm hearing that there are a lot of those Amazon accidents as well. Stick with us. We got a lot in store.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was at the art publications table today, and I was speaking to this young person from Arizona who's trying to fight SB 1070. And I was he grabbed a book, and he said, it's like Mao's Red Book. And I was like, man, that's what I was thinking. And it was just really cool to hear him make that connection.
Oh, no need to pay attention to that. That's just the co-founder of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Cullors, who says, and she's a trained Marxist, and that it's really cool that people think that her book is like Mao's Red Book. No big deal. It's not about Marxism, except when it is. Ooh, goodness. Happy Friday, everybody. It's good to be with you. We're in this week out, right? So I was telling you a little earlier how I don't know what's going on with Republicans. I really don't. I wrote a big piece on the newsletter last night where I went over, I listed everything I was telling you all about. Elise Stefanik's record and Liz Cheney's record. And Liz Cheney is not a perfect candidate. Nobody is. And I'm not defending or endorsing anybody. I'm just saying it's weird to me that people would get behind or want to be as, or want as conference chair, a candidate whose voting record is liberal and their rhetoric is right, and use, and instead want that person to replace the person whose rhetoric is bad and sounds liberal and whose voting record is right. I went through all of that stuff, and I understand as well how the there are members of Congress who are aware of Stefanik's record, and I went through everything. I looked at her, everything from the Heritage Rating, Club for Growth. I even looked at 538, what they call the Trump score, how often a member of Congress voted with Trump, whereas Stefanik was not anywhere. She was the average was 77% out of the from the 115th to 117th Congress. It was 77%. Contrast that to 92% with Liz Cheney. And I looked at all of this. I was looking at, like, for instance, the Heritage. She's got a 56% rating. Club for Growth has her at a 44, 2019, her lifetime score at 35. And it is just so, Cheney's is so much more conservative. Plus, you have, you know, Stefanik, who all the issues that she had voted with Democrats, Cheney had voted, with the exception of one where she doesn't have a recorded vote, Cheney had voted with Trump and Republicans. So I feel like I don't know why they want to replace somebody who says the wrong things with somebody who says the right things but votes the wrong way. I know that they're mad at Cheney, and I know that some people are saying, oh, this is Cheney's, like, long term. This is her 2024 plan, because she wants to challenge the party, and then she thinks that populism is going to pass, and that when it does, she'll be there to run the party. And people keep saying that, well, Trump is incompatible with the Republican Party and all this, you know, the bouncers of the GOP, those annoying people. They don't get it. They don't get it. And nor do Democrats, frankly, nor do people in the media. I called this in my book, Flyover Nation. I called this before the election. He's only a symptom of all of this. This sentiment that you're hearing from voters, all of this began during the Tea Party. All of this took off, and it didn't start with Barack Obama. It started with George W. Bush. It did. I was out in the streets protesting things before Obama was even elected. I didn't agree with bank bailout. I didn't agree with No Child Left Behind. I thought that's, you know, this is the predecessor here to, you know, Common Core and all of this. I just, there were certain things I didn't agree with. It's not personal, it's business. And this sentiment really, and then with the nationalization of healthcare and all that really pushed everything over. This has been building for a long time. The dissatisfaction that grassroots have with people that they invest their authority in and send to Washington, D.C. in order to go for their best interest, and they're not doing that. Trump is just a symptom of that. For people to say that he is incompatible with the party is an absolute outright attack on the base, because it's not about Trump. People chose him as a symptom of what they were feeling. He is merely representative of what the base was feeling at the time. Voters were feeling at the time. It is such a myopic view to state that, oh, we gotta get Trump out of the way. The Republican Party can't proceed. I saw actually several different op-eds about that today. And that is just such a stupid take. It's not a good take. And you shouldn't listen to anyone who says this, because these people are really bad pundits. They are incapable of critical thinking. But that is this, and I keep hearing too about this double standard. This is a piece I was looking at. This is over at the Hill. It says, Cheney fight stokes cries of GOP double standard for women. Barbara Comstock said the women don't get the same slack that the men get. I think the men are attacking her because they resent that she's got guts and they don't. Will you stop it with this crap? Barbara Comstock, stop it. This is so ridiculous. It has nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman, and I find it frankly weak that any so-called self-professed empowered woman would sit here and lean on the sexism card as a way to dodge responsibility for their tone and their smears and impugnations of the characters of the base. Either be empowered or don't, but don't masquerade. I can't stand that. I'll be damned if I start hearing that repeated within the GOP. Good heavens. It has nothing to do with Cheney being a woman. Nobody cares that she's a woman. Stop it. That is such a dodge. Why don't you go ahead? If you're going to talk like that, any Republican who wants to talk like that, go ahead and change the letter after your name. Go ahead. Just make it official. Because you're only identifying. You're Republican adjacent. How about that? You're only identifying. Has nothing to do with sex. It has everything to do with tone. I discussed this in my piece. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just telling you how it is. That's the problem. I mean, you can, as I said, you can believe that there was and is voter fraud, and also question or disbelieve whether or not there was enough of it in our decentralized system to steal the election. Not every Republican lands on the same square when this topic comes up. And nuance is not a divorce worthy disagreement. But tone changes this, and that's the thing. Why in the world would any Republican help Democrats sidestep the consequence of their previous 4 years harangue about a stolen 2016 election? I mean, who was the party that said elections can't be trusted and the system is broken? They said it for the entire term. Because it wasn't Republicans, and it sure as hell wasn't Trump. And why blame voters or even fellow congressional members for questioning a system that covered up FISA abuse and for engaging in political prosecutions, all because of different positions on policy? Americans are suspicious of government. It's woven in our DNA as Americans. Do people forget how this country started? This country started on suspicion of government, continued with criticism of government, and the kickoff to it was the first gun grab ever attempted in our nation's history by the British at Lexington and Concord. Conservative and Republican voters, they want their elected leaders to act like they're champions, like they're gladiators. And Cheney can stick to speaking her conscience all she wants to. But if she wanted to do it in a way that guaranteed the accumulation of greater influence within the party, she wouldn't drive away the grassroots base that actually made up the bulk of the fundraising last election. If you want to go and look at the numbers, which I did, And you can say she's playing the long game, and she's betting that Trump's influence somehow is going to fade and that populism is going to wane. But you're not going to do that if you can't keep your seat. And this is the Club for Growth poll. It shows a lot of trouble for her in Wyoming. 52% of GOP primary voters would vote against her, regardless of who challenged her in 22. 14%, only 14% would back her regardless. Her favorables are underwater, 29 to 65. This is bad news. And that's the result of going too hard. I mean, the bravest thing that she could do right now is to just state that she dislikes Trump, but his policies were right for America, which is why she voted for the most, why she voted for him most of the time in the House. Because you can disagree with whoever's president without being, without looking like you're trying to attack the base. And playing the long game assumes that voters don't have a longer memory. Republicans' chances, their hopes for a future majority may go away if Republicans do not show voters that they're willing to fight harder for them than they are with each other. Then one of the Republicans who's not doing in all of that is, he's not into all of that, is Ron DeSantis. Politico thought they had a big piece on him, you guys. Oh, man, they thought they had him. So Politico writes this, oh my gosh, it says, scarred DeSantis staffers form a support group. There may be turbulence ahead. And they said that in this piece that they put out, they said basically that some of his staffers meet regularly to trade war stories and that the turnover in his office and among his advisors is well known. This is the exact same play that they tried to do with Beth Van Dyne, by the way. Beth Van Dyne had an unreliable staff. And she got rid of those who were unreliable and those who were leaking to media. And then they got mad and then they ran to media and tried to do hit pieces on her. Mm-hmm. This is the same thing that they tried. And they're mad at him. And this is crazy because I said earlier, I said that this stuff made me like him even more, quite frankly. They said that we talked to a dozen or so one-time aides and consultants to the Florida governor, and they all said the same thing. He treats staff like expendable widgets, and he relies largely on a brain trust of two, himself and his wife, Casey DeSantis. What? What? No. You mean Ron doesn't value crabby, bratty princess staffers? And instead believes and has confidence in his own decision-making abilities and, like John Adams, counts his wife as some of his, as one of his most important counselors? Really? Because to me, that sounds like a plus. I mean, he is the governor. To me, that sounds like a plus. I mean, they're going to make people like DeSantis even more. That's what they're going to do. So he doesn't really pay attention to, he's not going to sit here and take the opinion of whiny, crabby, crying baby staffers. A dime a dozen aides? Really? Yeah, who was it that wrote something? Somebody, I mean, it was like the exact same thing against Beth Van Dyne. They tried this piece like a couple of weeks ago. And they actually called her a Barbie in the piece. It's just, but this makes actually Ron DeSantis look even better. So good on Governor Ron DeSantis. He relies on counsel from his wife and he has the confidence in his own decision-making abilities. He doesn't need to focus group everything or have it all on a prompter like Joe Biden. Good for him. We have more to come. We have Florida Man on the way, I know. And if I can, I'll read a piece of hate mail.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Oh my goodness. So Hillary Clinton said we need to fight. We need to fight misinformation. And then the New York Times just decided that they don't know what memes are. They wrote a story. It says, the fact that Elon Musk frequently steals memes has become essentially a meme in itself. Memes. How do they work? It's a meme. Oh my gosh. I hope that everyone at Reddit answers to the call of ridicule for this tweet. It's like when lockdown happened. It's like Reddit reporting for duty. So great. Golly, memes, how do they work? He stole a meme. Do you know what memes are? Everyone steals memes, you brats. Why does the press suck so hard? Why are they so bad? Golly, can you imagine all of the information we would know if they just did their job? We'd all be experts on this vaccine. We'd know everything about it. Maybe people wouldn't be vaccine hesitant. Oh, but no, you jackwagons had to scare everybody and politicize everything. And then you turn around and go, can you believe these people are suspicious? Where did they get that idea? Oh, I don't know. Maybe you? Golly. All right, so it's Mother's Day weekend. I hope all you mamas out there have a nice Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Well, thank you. And all my kids will be home, so all of them. Like, I have 50. Some days it feels... Today it feels like that. Feels like that today. But I hope everyone has a nice Mother's Day. And, or I'm sorry, Birthing Person Day.
Oh, that's right.
Birthing Person Day, right. That's right, because women are being erased, including mothers. So it's just Birthing Person.
Mm. Which, mm-hmm. that would be mothers, though, right?
Mm, Birthing Person?
Yeah.
Birthing Person is a birthing person.
I see.
I know. All right. Mm, okay, yeah, they have it. So happy Birthing Person Day. I don't know if that's a Hallmark card.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right. Might as good heavens. Right. And right. And all of that. And we don't have time to play it all. But there are all these sound bites now of all of these members of Congress saying the same thing that Cori Bush said, repeating over and over again. Oh, well, blah, 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 birthing person, or another statement where they say birthing person. So this is clearly something. There was a memo that went out.
Yep.
A memo went out. For sure. All right. Today in Stupidity, Kane, what do we got?
All right. Obviously, the dismal job numbers we saw today, the uptick in unemployment and all that. Jen Psaki's job is to spin that stuff. So let's hear what she said.
Created about an average of 500,000 jobs a month over the last 3 months. That's in stark contrast to about 60,000 jobs a month during the final 3 months of President Trump's administration. And there's no question, by data, by economic standards, by economic experts' standards, that the money that has been put into the economy, the $1,400 checks, and the stimulus has helped put people back to work.
I see. So. The fact that they spend money is what put people back to work, and is the dismal job numbers that we can. Her spin job is amazing.
It's bad. It's not actually working.
Yeah, the media doesn't call it.
See, the
out.
Fact that we spend all this money and we got all these jobs, and we would have more jobs if we'd spend more money.
And it's like, remember that pandemic? Yeah, we did better than that.
Mm-hmm. Folks, happy Mother's Day to all your mamas out there, and have a wonderful weekend. I will be back with you on Monday.